everybody, and welcome to the Final Femme podcast. My name is Sydney. I'm here with my co-host, Jack. Hi, Jack.
Hello, Sid.
How are you?
I'm crazy, Sid. How about you?
That sounds right for you. I'm doing well.
Okay.
Today we watched Beetlejuice from 1988, so we watched the original. Jack, had you seen this before?
A little bit. Not the whole thing. This is my first time watching the whole movie, okay. All the way through. So yeah.
Okay. Well, what do you think?
It was crazy.
I already said it was crazy.
It's very nutty. It has a very distinct flavor to it.
Yes.
It's that Burton ice cream flavor.
Yes. Mm. So this Delicious. One is directed by Tim Burton, and he has a distinctive style.
He does.
But the good news is it's not that scary. So for those of you who listen who are like, I can't handle scary. This one's pretty, it's funny. It's pretty lighthearted. The scares are pretty mild. So you could watch this one.
And even better, Sid. Oh, hour 32.
I know. We finally did it.
Woo! Almost. We're 2 minutes away.
Zachariah Zebediah. How dare you?
This is
you?
Almost a perfect movie.
Shut up. Anyways. Okay. So this is directed by Tim Burton, as we said. The writers are Michael McDowell, Larry Wilson, and Warren Scarron.
Scary.
It stars Alec Baldwin, Gina Davis, Michael Keaton, Winona Ryder, Catherine O'Hara, and a few more names I will mention. Let's see. IMDb's brief synopsis is, the spirits of a deceased couple are harassed by an unbearable family that has moved into their home and hire a malicious spirit to drive them out. Woo!
That is very accurate.
It is.
Unbearable family.
Oh, and hijinks ensue. Let's see. So this movie, she came out March 30th, 1988.
Spring chicken.
Yeah, I'm like, it's not really near a holiday. I guess it could be close to Easter.
Yeah. Beetlejuice, big staple of Easter.
Yeah, Rise from the Dead. Okay, that was a bad joke.
You better check those eggs before you eat them. You never know what they're going to be.
Rotten?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the budget for this one was $15 million. Let's see. Opening weekend, it did $8,030,897. But gross worldwide, it did $74,852,535. So, yeah.
That's gross.
Gross. She made some money.
$15 million doesn't seem like a lot.
Mm-mm. Not for like the...
That seems like a... I don't know. For all the practical effects and the design of this movie, like it went very far.
Yeah, I agree. Also, this movie is PG. So again, if you are like, I don't usually fuck with horror movies, you could fuck with this one. She's pretty gentle. Weird, but
we're
gentle.
We're also a spicy podcast, people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're here, I expect you know that.
You should fucking know that already.
Yeah. Anyways, so their official tagline on either IMDb page is, say it once, say it twice, but we dare you to say it three times. Jack, did you have a favorite?
Not that one. I think he's the ghost with the most.
I like that one, too.
Probably the best one.
Yeah. Let's see. And the name of laughter from the hereafter, like, I like he's the ghost with the most. That's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, all little plays on Mr. Beetlejuice. It should be like more about the family, like unbearable family. I want more of those. Focusing on how bad they are.
The family. I have guesses at what you're going to take umbrage with, but we shall find out.
We will see. Yeah.
We will see. All right. So, hold on a second. Zachariah, sir.
Yeah.
Have you seen Mario? I cannot find him.
Mario is missing.
Okay.
It is a terrible game on the... No, I haven't seen him. Do you have his number? Because, like, I don't...
Jack? What happened to Mario?
He got small and then he lost his life?
Jack.
Okay. So... I mean, he was probably the best producer we've had. And so I really did not want to lose Mario, but here we are looking for another producer.
Jack, again. What happened?
Okay. So what happened? Mario, he was in a gym. He was jumping around. He likes to dance. I didn't know that about him, but his dancing involves a lot of jumping. Exactly. Yes. Just like that, Sid.
You know me.
You're dancing along. But no, he went to this gym and was hanging out with a bunch of people, and all of a sudden the place just caught on fire. And wow. He had to get out of there. He had to save his life, right? So he jumped on someone called Norma. I mean she was wearing his outfit.
Oh, and
he's like, well, I can't have a second one of you in the world, so I'm going to jump on it. And he flattened her, right. And then he jumped out of the gym.
Right.
But he jumped right in front of a car that was careening down the road, barrel rolling, and it was like a ball of fire, and exploded. And
whoa. Oh, rest in peace, Mario. That's very sad.
Yeah. But just reset the console, and you can play again.
Fuck you. Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you.
We have a producer that can come back. We're not going to use him again.
I cannot believe you just made a Mario joke. After his death, Jack. It's fucked up.
It's a him?
Jack.
Oh!
Introduce me to our new producer, please.
Okay, so yeah, I brought in a guy named Bo, and we're gonna have a great time with Bo.
Hi, Bo, welcome.
Hey. I'm Bo.
See? I told you.
Bo knows movies, baby.
Jack. Welcome, Bo.
Sid, I don't know what you're upset about. Bo is here to do his job.
It's so nice to meet you. This
I'm gonna produce the fuck out of this thing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bo.
I bet you are.
Oh, welcome. <yeah.
laughs> It's nice to meet you.
Let's go, Bo. Let's go, Bo.
Yeah, let's go, Bo.
Bo. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, he did this during the interview, too. It was good.
Jack, we're going to have a meeting after this, just you and I.
Oh. I brought in pom-poms to the meeting.
Bo, I might be getting fired. I'm sorry.
Anyways, Bo! On to the
Fire
show.
Fire instead.
A lot of self-preservation.
All right. So we open our movie with credits and a very vibey scene, which I appreciate.
Crazy music. Crazy music.
Produced?
Composed.
Composed, thank you. By Danny Elfman. So,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Whimsical music. I mean, okay, I don't know. Didn't do this research. Not going to. But
okay.
I'm putting this question out here for our audience.
Sure.
Do Danny and Elfman and Tim Burton work together a lot? Because I feel like his music goes very well with his, like,
yeah, I think
Tim Burton style.
Kind of like Tim Burton seems to have a host of, like, favorite recurring actors, like Johnny Depp, Helena Bonham Carter. I think Danny Elfman is one of those where they work together a lot.
Gotcha. It really fits with this style. Like, it's perfect.
Yes, it does. So we got our title screen, and then we've got the actors' names while we are, like, zooming through a town which turns into a model town, which was kind of a cool transition.
I like that. The little aerial shot of the like small town, and then it's like, at a certain point, I was like, wait a second, everything's like tiny and
yeah.
I thought it was trying to like trick me, like it was a model, but turns out it actually is part of the story.
So. Certainly a model. So
it is a model.
and then there's this huge spider because we end up on
the
house, and there's a huge spider, and then you're like, oh, it's a model, because first we meet Adam Maitland, who is played by Alec Baldwin, a very young Alec Baldwin.
Are you sure that's Alec Baldwin?
I know, right?
I don't think that's him. It does not look like him.
It's him. It's just a much younger him.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Slim and trim.
Yes.
His face looks so different, though.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It was the 80s. So he reaches his hand over and lets this spider, who, no joke, looks as big as a fucking tarantula. He's just like, hey, it's little big friend. And it crawls onto his hand and he like pokes at it. And he's like, ha, 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 aren't we having fun? And then he like carefully walks it over to the window. And then he just like flings it outside. He's like, bye.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're going to be safe. Whing, splat on the ground. Like just
smashing at that point.
Nasty.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. In my notes, I just have like a psychopath in all caps, like when he picked it up. Because no, no, yucky.
I would just let him live in that town. Like he's the mayor.
No, I would light that whole town on fire. Fuck that. Get out of my town.
Wow.
Spider. Scary. I don't like it. So then his wife, Barbara Maitland, played by Gina Davis, pops up. And they are taking, I think it's a 2-week vacation, but they're taking like a staycation. So they, this is cute. They like got each other presents for their staycation. It's like, oh.
And these guys are goofballs together. It's like a good, it's like a funny relationship that they have.
It's really sweet. It was like super non-toxic. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, that's nice, especially compared with the next relationship we see. So she gets him, I think, some materials to keep building his model, and he gets her wallpaper to redo the spare room. Anyways, and then they're like super cute, and the phone rings, and each of them is like getting up to go answer the phone, and they keep pulling each other back in for a kiss, which was cute, and then it started getting annoying, so I got glad that they got interrupted.
You're getting annoyed.
They do it like 5 times. Like, okay.
It was a bit much. It was a bit much.
But
they're so in love. So.
It was cute. I must have been hangry or something. So, and then so we meet Jane because they have to go answer the door because someone has pulled up. And this is Jane Butterfield, and she is played by Anne McEnroe. And she comes over and Barb lets her in for a minute, and basically Jane is trying to convince Barb and Adam to sell their house. My only guess is because it's a big house, and this is a small town, so Jane is just basically trying to drum up business.
Yeah, I can't really tell what Jane's angle is here, but she, I feel, and she says this much. She said, the house is too big, and you guys aren't having kids or can't have kids, and then it like kind of, you know, we look at Barb's reaction, and she's hurt by that.
Which,
like, what?
Fuck off, lady. First of all, it's none of your business. Okay, because later when she tells Adam this, he's like, oh, I was thinking we could try again on vacation. So my guess is, like, she had a miscarriage or something.
Something like that.
Because she looked hurt. Also, fuck off. It's my house.
Who cares, Jane? Who cares what you're doing in your house? Like, I don't know. She's, like, obsessed with this house. And later on, we find out she, like, did some of the design of it or something. Yeah. I don't know. So she has some kind of vested interest in it.
Yeah. So she's trying to get Barbara to sell the house. Barbara basically says no. And Jane's like, well, there's a really nice couple in New York who, like, with a family who wants to buy it. And she's like, please stop posting pictures of our house to random strangers. Right. Like, hello, lady, come on. And then Jane tries to hit up Adam, who also tells her no. And Jane fucks
off. Yeah, Adam tries to, like, hide. They know she's coming, and Adam's like, I'm going to the garage or the basement or wherever he goes.
Yeah.
So he's just trying to, like, stay away, and then he's working in his little shop area, and she just is like, hey, how's it going, Adam? Like, right into the basement window. It's like, oh, this neighbor would drive me insane. Or, I don't even know if it's a neighbor.
I think she's the realtor. Rando. Ah. But she's a lot.
Bit much.
So Barbara and Adam decide to go into town because Adam needs more supplies for his model of the town that he's building. And they go into town and they pull up to a store, and it's like the Maitland hardware store. So Adam owns this store. It must have been like passed down through the family. And I didn't write his name down, but there is also like an old man barber sitting outside just talking to Adam and doesn't notice that Adam goes into the store and just keeps on with his story about how young people have their hair too long these days.
It's like, okay, yeah. I've encountered people like this in my life. I'm just like, oh, jeez.
Yeah. Well, you do have glorious hair, Jack, so.
Well, I just meant they keep talking and I'm not listening.
Oh. It has nothing to do with hair. You just tune them out.
Oh, yeah.
Fair enough. And I remember because when they pull up in front of the store, they almost hit this little dog. And I'm like, oh, that's crazy. And it turns out to be foreshadow. So they leave the store. They're driving. It's such a cute little town. Like, this town has to be what would you guess? Like 200 people live there? Like, it's tiny. It's somewhere in rural Connecticut.
Yeah, like he owns the hardware, probably the only hardware store in town. There's probably like one grocery store. Like, it's one of those towns that have like one of everything or one of each store. Yeah.
She's little. So they're driving back up to their house on the hill and they're going through this covered bridge. And that same dog, this little dog, like runs in front of their car and Barbara swerves to avoid it, crashes through the wall of the covered bridge. And they have this funny moment where they're like teetering on the bridge and this dog is standing on a board and they're like, don't move, dog. And the dog gets off the board and the car falls into the water.
Yeah.
Ta-da.
So goodbye, our protagonist.
Movie over. Just kidding. I do like that for a quote unquote scary movie, there's like no gore. It doesn't focus on the horror. Even when the horrific things happen, they keep it light and funny. So
yeah. Yeah, it doesn't show them like getting ejected and flying through the windshield. It just shows the car upside down in the water, or sinking in the water.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
And then our next scene is Barbara and Adam walking back into their house and like they're drenched and the fire's on and they're like, oh, that's weird. I don't remember setting the fire. And then they try to warm their hands in front of the fire and like Barbara's fingers catch on fire and they're still lit until she blows them out, which is their
normal
first,
things.
Yeah. Indication that something is wrong. And then Adam tries to leave the house. He's like, okay, I'm going to retrace our steps because I don't remember how we got here, like after the accident. And he walks outside and he is suddenly, I think they said it's like on Saturn, but it looks like they're on a desert. Everything's kind of purple. And then he sees these big, scary sandworms. Barbara pulls him back inside and she's like, you were gone for 2 hours. And he's like, what?
So he finds out that they're essentially trapped. Anytime they try to leave the house now, so.
Yeah. Yeah, they cannot leave the house. And then Barbara shows him basically that they don't have a reflection anymore. And then they see the handbook for the recently deceased, which is also a pretty big indication that they may be dead. So there.
And Barbara thinks this. She's like, she says she doesn't think that they survived the crash.
Yeah.
And Adam doesn't seem as convinced yet.
He's a little more convinced now. But yeah, so they're trying to read through the book, like the handbook for the recently deceased, and the running joke in this movie is everyone who tries to read it's like, this thing reads like stereo instructions.
Apparently it's very confusing. I don't know,
I guess so. And then we flash over to the Beetlejuice, who is played by Michael Keaton, who he's looking through the newspaper and he sees their obituary and he's like, oh, they seem like a sweet couple, like nice and dumb. Like he wants to take advantage of them, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let's
Did you see the name of the newspaper? Sorry.
I don't know if you said that.
It's called the Afterlife Newspaper.
No. I appreciate the attention to detail.
It was good. Yeah.
Where was I? Back to Barb and Adam. Jane shows up in a black. Because time seems to move kind of different for them now that they're dead. They can either, it can go like minute by minute, day by day, or it can be months. I think it just kind of depends on how much they're tuned in to what's going on with the living. And then when they're not, time just passes weirdly. So Jane shows up. She's in a black dress with her daughter. And well, we get the sense that they've just come from like Adam and Barb's funeral. And then they discover that Jane cannot see them or hear them. So
they're dead.
And then she leaves after putting a for sale sign up on their house. So Jane got her wish. Yay.
Yay. I was rooting for Jane this whole time.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Next, we should say, sorry, they were trying to get their attention from like this house is really cool. We should describe the house. The house, it's like all white, but it's like architecturally is very, it's got like a tower part with like a, almost like a bell tower attic thing.
Yeah.
And then, like, the rest of the house is just, like, really interesting in terms of how it's laid out. But they're like, in the bell tower attic part.
Yeah.
And we kind of learn that that's, as we keep going, that's where they're staying. They're kind of in the attic.
You're hanging out in the attic.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, the house, this movie's worth a watch. If you haven't seen it before, I would recommend.
Just for the house, to be honest.
Just for the house.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you for that. Adam and Barbara wake up the next morning, well, in their world, the next morning to rumbling. And it's kind of a funny little detail, but like Adam's on the bed and Barbara's looks like she's on the bed, but she's just kind of floating next to him. And then when the noise happens, she falls. I don't know, just funny little details. Let's see. So our new family has moving in and they are from New York. So I kind of get the idea like this is the family Jane was talking about in the beginning that had interest in purchasing this house was the Dietz family.
It's like that she already had it lined up for him, ready to go.
Yeah, Jane's kind of like a sleaze.
If they would have driven off the bridge, I think Jane would have had them killed in some way.
Jane's just like up there trying to kill him. It was actually Jane's dog. She trained it to do that.
Could be.
So first we meet Delia Dietz, who is played by the magnificent Catherine O'Hara. I love her so much.
Kevin!
And then we meet Charles Dietz, who is played by Jeffrey Jones. And Charles...
I like this guy.
Yeah. I think... Yeah. Wasn't he the principal in Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just a wacky dude.
Yeah. He's a good character actor. He's fun to watch. So this did kind of annoy me, though, and maybe this is more of an 80s thing, but like Charles clearly bought this house because he needed to get out of New York City, but his wife and daughter are clearly not into this. Like he moved them both out to Connecticut. Kind of seems like no one was asked. Charles is just like, fuck you. We're moving. Okay.
Don't get the sense that this, particularly the husband and wife, communicate very well with each other?
No. This they're the opposite of Adam and Barbara.
True. Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So, it's just them moving in, and then we meet Lydia Dietz, who is played by Winona Ryder. Because Amelia's like, I'm not really feeling this house. Like, I'm going to have to gut it from the inside out. And Lydia's very much like face-to-face with a spider, and she's like, nah, I could live here. Like, I fuck with this house.
It's vibing with her, yeah.
She's vibing. So, let's see.
There's essentially another member of the family, too, that we should introduce as well.
I was getting to him.
And that's what you're doing right now, Sid. Don't need my help.
That's what I'm doing. Oh, I always need your help, Jack. Mm. I was just trying to read through my chicken scratch notes. So, yes, Lydia's taking pictures, and then someone crawls in through the window, and this is Otho. And Otho is played by Glenn Shaddix, and he's very funny, but he's obnoxious in this movie, but he does a good job at it.
I really like his character, yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, Otho, why didn't you just use the front door? Because he, like, pulls down the curtains, breaks the blinds. Like, he's just making a fucking mess. He's like, oh, it's bad luck. I'm like, you just busted our window. Okay. So he is an interior designer who Delia essentially convinced to come with them from New York out to Connecticut. So I don't know if he's living with them or if he's just kind of, it kind of seems like it.
Not
or
clear.
Or he stays but there a lot.
He was pretty much in every scene. Yeah.
Otho was a good time. So Delia and Otho start going through the house essentially with like their cans of spray paint, and Otho's being, he's like, oh, I'm going to help you redecorate. And anytime like Delia offers an opinion, he's like, so few clients are able to see into my mind, but you were able to do it. But he's also kind of a little mean to her. And it's just enough to keep her like following him like a puppy. It's funny.
Yeah. They're like putting X's on stuff that they're going to rip out or destroy or change in some way.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much everything.
Pretty much everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they get, oh, I love this part. They get to the study where Charles is hanging out, and he's like, no, not this room, not this room. And he's like, just leave my house alone. And Delia looks at him and she's like, I will live with you here. I will stay with you. But if you do not let me gut this house, I will go insane and I will take you with me. And she just freaks the fuck out. And it's so funny. I love it so much.
And he's like, okay. Can we leave this one room? just the study. Can we leave the study the way it is? She's like, yeah, that's fine. And she like turns right back into
because she's so sweet. And then she just screams at full volume. And then once she gets her way, she's like, okay.
Yeah.
It's worth looking that little bit up on YouTube if you haven't seen it. Very funny. So
there was a good part where they're checking the closet.
Oh, yeah. I haven't got there yet.
Okay.
Yeah, because Adam and Barbara are trying to scare the Maitlands. They're like, okay, yeah. we're ghosts. Like, we're just going to get them out of here. So one of the rooms that Otho and Delia go into, they like open the closet and Barbara's hung herself. And then she like pulls her face off and they go, and you think they've seen her, but they're just like, oh my God, this closet is so small.
It's so good. It's good.
That's right, because when they go into the study, I was just so excited to get to the freak out. When they go to the study, Adam's like body is lying on the ground and Barbara's holding up his head with a knife and they like don't see any of it.
No, they're oblivious to it.
Which is funny. Because Barbara and Adam are trying their hardest and they just kind of suck at being ghosts.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
So, it is unfortunate. So then I think they decide to go up to the attic.
Yeah, Adam is going to lock the attic door because they say something about, isn't there an attic or something like that? And so they race up there and lock the door so that they can't get in.
Right. That's right. Because Delia basically wants to gut the house and then sell off all the furniture. So they're going to at least preserve their attic, their one little last safe space.
Yeah.
But he forgets and runs upstairs, sans head, and locks the basement, and then like comes back into the study and puts his head back on. So, and then Barbara's kind of had enough at this point. She's like, you know what? Fuck this. Like, this is ridiculous. I'm going to go talk to someone that can't just take our house like this. And Adam's trying to warn her. He's like, no, you can't. We can't leave the house. And she's like, I don't care. And she runs outside and lands back in the deserty place with the sandworms.
Mm-hmm.
And then Adam comes out to rescue her. And the sandworm comes up. And Adam is afraid. And Barbara just, wham, like, pops it right in the nose. Like,
just Barbara, like a shark.
She is the MVP of this movie. She has no fear.
It was great. You just punch it in the face and it kind of recoils and like, whoa. And then they're able to get away. So
it was like, oh, that lady hit me. Ow. Stan, did you see her? She hit me in the face. Amazing. So yes, they make it back inside and they're kind of not sure what to do, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then my notes, I have the next thing is that they're eating dinner. Like Delia, Lydia, and Charles are eating dinner together.
That's what I have too. Yeah.
Okay. Delia's bitching about how it's not like Saskatchewan or something. And Lydia's complaining about the MSG. And Charles is like, I just want to have a normal family.
Yeah. Everyone's not enjoying life right now.
No. That's
what I put in my notes.
They're not having a good time. And Lydia, we should mention, is always in black. And she's got like a full funeral gear on. Like she's got a veil, a black veil over her face. Like very dramatic.
So she's got that pretty uber goth mode going on.
Yeah, she's got goth mode.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You okay, Sid?
Yeah, I bumped the chair into the table. Sorry about that.
Did you hear that?
The decorators are working during the show, huh?
I know, I'm sorry. They're very aggressive.
Currently rearranging your space.
Ooh, sorry. So. Speaking of rearranging, a furniture truck pulls up the next day and they are building stuff onto the house. Like they're kind of putting stuff up outside, but they're taking furniture out and putting in her sculptures. And one of Delia's, so that's the thing too. Delia is a artist. I shouldn't have used quotes. She is an artist.
A sculptress.
She makes the fucking ugliest sculptures. They're horrifying. And she's got a huge one. That looks like it's got a block base, and then it looks like it's kind of like a big leaf or like a hand, like it's gonna.
It's pretty abstract.
Yeah. And they're trying, they're trying to put it in like upstairs, and it drops from this crane and like pins Delia against the wall, and she's like, "I don't want to die like this."
Yeah, it like almost kills her, and not only that, she's being like. This would be the nightmare person if you're moving someone into their house.
She's doing a lot.
She's like, hey, what are you doing? That's supposed to be over there. I'm supposed to go in the kitchen in the back. She's like just trying to micromanage everything. So for her to get almost smacked by her own creation, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, just look. At one point, she says the line, tell me what you do, and I'll tell you why my husband will fire you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the guy's just like, oh, he doesn't even say anything.
She's a lot. I just love that I don't want to die by my art.
It is very hectic, though. So they're making a ton of changes to the house.
Yeah. Barbara and Adam are watching this from their attic, and they're kind of really unhappy. They still can't figure out this stupid book. And they find a flyer that for Beetlejuice, but it's spelled like Beetlegeist, like G-U-E-S-E, and they can't really pronounce it. So they're like, oh, I don't know. We could call him, but where's your phone number? It's kind of the joke because you have to call him.
Yeah. It's like an ad where there's no contact information. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. They're like, what the fuck? So God, my notes are all scrambly. So it keeps going back and forth between Barbara and Adam and the people outside. So Lydia's outside. She's taking photos of the house, of the movers. And then Jane pulls up in the car with her daughter. And Jane gives Lydia a skeleton key. And she's like, this will open any room in the house. Which is good because Lydia's been trying to get into the attic, but it's locked. So she's like, yes. Give this to your dad. And then she sneaks in the line like, oh, by the way, like, I helped decorate this house. So tell your mom if she like needs any help. And Lydia's like, yeah, sure, will do.
Well, okay. And Jane should clearly see that the house is like being deconstructed. Like it's got actively it. Being changed. So like, I don't think she needs your help. She has her own like postmodern design she's going for.
She does not want your. Yeah, it's very like late 80s, early 90s style. It is, in fact, not timeless, but I love it. It's weird.
It is. There was a scene when they were moving in where it was showing a room. The movers were moving stuff into a room that had only one wall with windows, and then the rest of the walls were gone. It was like it was like a sunroom without any walls to it. It was pretty cool. I enjoyed it. I'm going to do that to my room.
Yeah, there you go. Love it.
Drafty.
Drafty. Bugs keep coming in. I don't understand. So let's see. So Lydia takes her new toy, her skeleton key, and basically like foots it to the attic. And Barbara and Adam hear her trying to unlock the door and come in. So they run over and they're like pushing all their weight on it. And Lydia's trying to get in. And then like Adam takes this tool and essentially pokes the key out through the lock. So the key falls down and Lydia's very clear that something is in the attic now.
It's also telling that she did not give the key to her parents. Like Jane said, she just took it straight up to the attic. It's like, I'm going to use this for my own.
I mean, I probably wouldn't have either eventually, but I mean,
especially not in this family.
I would say, especially with like Lydia's parents, like, come on now.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
So Adam and Barbara are kind of at their wit's end. They're like, we need to get this family out. Like, let's figure something out. And Adam's like, okay, I've been reading the book. And if we draw a door, then we can get some help, basically. So he draws a door on the brick wall in their attic with chalk. And then he adds like this doofy little doorknob and then they stare and nothing happens. Barbara's like, come on, like, do you really think that was going to work? Which is funny to me because Barbara, you're literally dead. Like, why are you being cynical?
Read the book. You got to read the book. They also had, there was an ad for a Beetlejuice.
Oh, I skipped commercial that. Yes.
Before this. So he's just kind of like sprinkled throughout, like very lightly at the beginning.
Yeah.
But basically, he's like a minotaur, or is he riding a horse? I can't remember.
He's riding a little cow, but he's like trying to be a cowboy, but he's riding a little plastic cow, and he's like, "Yeehaw, come on down!"
Yeah. So he again. Now they're seeing a television ad, for his services, but still don't have any number to call.
Yeah, he can't say his name. And I think that's part of the conditions. Like, he can't say his name and he can't tell them how to contact them. They kind of have to figure it out.
Yeah.
So kind of like Rumpelstiltskin. And he was very rumply. So.
But sorry, to your point, they did the chalk door and then they knock on it three times and then it opens.
Yeah. So Adam knocks on it three times and a green light kind of shines through as the brick door opens and Lydia can see the green light like under the door. So, ooh, ghosty shit's happening. And Barbara and Adam go through the brick door and then it closes behind them.
Yeah, lovely.
Lovely.
And probably one of my favorite scenes is next. Charles just is enjoying his study and he's like looking at a book.
He's such a dork.
I think it's like a bird watching book, and he like picks up his like binoculars, looks out the window, just a crow eating a dead body, and he's like, ugh. It's so good.
It's like, finally time to relax and bird watch.
Every time he tries to just wind down, something happens, and his reaction to it is always the best.
Yeah. Well, because he also takes it to like start spying on the neighbors and what kind of roof do the neighbors have, and he's just being a little goofball creeper, and then Lydia pops in and she's like, Dad! And he's like, ah!
Here's the shit out of him. It's so good.
So funny. And she's like, I want to tell you what he saw. And she's like, I am trying to relax. Fuck off. Like, go tell your mom. And she's like, well, maybe you can relax in a haunted house, but I can't. She's like the ultimate teenager response.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was funny. Let's see. After that, we're back to Barb and Adam, who are... They enter this lobby, this waiting area for the dead. And we see a bunch of... I didn't write them all down, but we see a bunch of people who are there, like, basically how they died. So one guy has, like, a shark, like, on his leg because he died in a shark death. There's a magician's assistant who is sawed in half. She's got her top half here reading and her bottom half, her legs are crossing and uncrossing. There's a dude who died, like, and he's got a clear bone through his throat because he choked on, a rib bone or something.
Then there's the shrunken head guy.
There's the shrunken head guy.
That's awesome.
Yes.
All great. They're great.
They're very creative. Costumes,
props, you know, a mixture of whatever they are. Yeah. I really enjoyed when they go to this area, like the wacky place. It's always enjoyable to see the visuals for it.
Yeah, the wacky place.
So, I don't know what else to call it.
No, it's perfect. So Barbara's kind of freaked out, and Adam's like, okay, well, let's just go to the desk. And he tries to take a number, and the thing, like, falls apart. So he knocks on the window, and there's the receptionist who, because she talked a lot, I didn't write all the dead people down, but I did write her down because she talks a lot. So the receptionist, who is played by Patrice Martinez, and she's like, basically, oh my God, you guys have only been dead, like, 2 or 3 months. You're going to use up all your help things. And he's like, what are you talking about? She's like, you have to be on Earth for 125 years in this house, and you only get 3 asks for help, and you're using one of them right now. So this is ridiculous. Which, 3 for 125 years?
Yeah, hopefully you figure it out and able to,
right,
to live peacefully for 120. And I guess the thing is, they can only ask help from their caseworker, which we find out here in a little bit.
Oh, Juno, yeah.
Each dead person is assigned to a caseworker, so I guess you can only ask for their help a total of 3 times. Yeah.
I did really like Juno. She's funny.
Mm-hmm.
So while they are hanging out in the waiting room, waiting on Juno, Lydia unlocks the attic door because basically Barbara and Adam aren't there to push her out again. And she finds the handbook. So she's like reading through, like, oh, these are officially ghosts. And then we're back to Barbara and Adam, who are called back in the waiting room. So they're called back to go meet with Juno, their caseworker.
Fast waiting time.
I know.
Or they were assholes and skipped the line in front of everyone else. That's what it feels like. Because everyone else is still sitting in the waiting room.
Right? It's like, okay.
How does this work?
So they walk through a door, and it's very, like, they're going through the back room, and it's like skeletons are typing, and they've got a guy who, like, died by suicide, like, hanging himself, and he's, like, swinging through on this track, essentially, and he's dropping papers off for people, and it's a
messenger.
It's a lot. It's very Tim Burton. So they're walking through, like, this black and white checkered Art Deco hallway.
Oh, I love this.
And they see a window, and it's a lot of, like, ghosts going up, and they're moaning, and Barbara's like, what the hell is that? And this janitor just, like, fucking pops up out of nowhere, and he's like, that's the room of dead souls.
I wouldn't go in that room.
Like, hello, janitor man. Okay. But he tells him.
So even like a ghoulish doctor's office needs it to be cleaned every once in a while. Why does he even have a job there?
I don't know.
What is he cleaning?
Ectoplasm, probably.
It's filthy. Yeah, that's true.
So he tells them that the room of the lost souls is like souls that have been exorcised. So, like, it's the dead for the dead. Like, it's the worst of the worst, essentially.
Yeah.
So don't go in there. It's all in the handbook, and, like, keep walking. So he sends them on, and they're walking along this goofy hallway, and they finally come to room 6, and they walk in, and they're like, it feels strangely familiar, but the whole thing is different, and they realize that's their house. But it has all been changed and made into that 90s goofball. What, Delia gutted it and made it weird.
She made it to her vision, to her liking.
Yes, it's so weird and wonderful. And then Juno shows up. And she's like, how long have we been gone? And Juno's like, 3 months. I almost gave up waiting on you, which is, again, an indication to us that time moves differently mm-hmm. in the ghost world.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. And Juno is played by Sylvia Sidney.
She's a saucy lady. I like her.
I liked her a lot. So she tells Adam and Barbara that they were in the waiting room for 3 months, like you said. And then she tells him basically to read the manual. You got to get the deets out yourself. Like, we're not going to hand it out to you. And really, you shouldn't be asking for help this world. Like, everybody in the ghost world berates them for not reading the manual, mm-hmm. which is kind of funny.
I mean, it is, you know, they didn't really read the whole thing. Adam reads parts of it. He's like, this is confusing. And then they just don't.
I need help.
Yeah.
So she tells him to start small, like stick with what they know. She's like, it doesn't matter if you're pulling your face off if like the people can't see you. You're just wasting energy, essentially.
Yeah.
And then Barbara's like, well, what about that beetle guy? And she's like, no, don't call him. That guy sucks. He used to be my assistant, but then he basically went rogue and he's trying to do like bio exorcisms like on his own. He doesn't like to work with other people. He's a bad dude. Don't call him. Which she could have given them a little more detail, but
whatever. She pretty much gives them the details they need to summon him too, because she's like, don't say his name 3 times. And it's like, well, yeah. Now they fucking know, and they know what it is. It's Beetlejuice and not Beetlegeist or whatever.
Beetlegeist, yeah, exactly. And then she's like, by the way, he's been sleazing around your model cemetery, which is just such a good way to put it.
That's so funny.
Oh, so funny. So, and then she like, they're like, how do we contact you? And she essentially like takes a drag of her cigarette and evaporates into a cloud of cigarette smoke, which was a great way to be like, you don't, bye.
Yeah. She basically tells them they have to scare the deets out themselves. That's what she advises them to do.
Yeah. And then it's so random, but like in between actual parts of the movie, they'll just have little clips of Beetlejuice doing Beetlejuicy things. And so there's like this little fly that's zooming through the model and Beetlejuice is like waving it over. He holds up this like Zagnut candy bar. He's like, come here, I got treats.
Come here. Come here.
The fly like scoots over. Like it's clearly, I don't know, like a little robot or something, but the fly like scoots over and he like grabs the fly to eat it. And you just hear the fly going like, help me, help me. <It's> so funny.
That's good.
I felt bad for the fly.
Also, it's almost like they have a pet cemetery in that little model town.
Ah!
There's a fly in there.
There's a fly in there. Well, the fly is dead now. Beetlejuice ate him.
He's part of the pet cemetery.
I don't know if you can come back if you've been eaten. I don't think that works. Still got to bury the body.
Yeah. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
We got to try it sometime.
Oh, okay. You go first. So we cut back over to Charles, who is talking to Maxie Dean, who is played by Robert Goulet. It's like, what? Robert Goulet. And this is Charles's boss. I'm not sure if he still works for him, but Charles used to, he was like a
He used to work there. Yeah.
Or he's in like finance or Wall Street or something. And he's like, yeah, you know, Charles, you used to make me a ton of money before your nerves got shot and you had to move out to the country. So I don't know if anybody's still working or if they just have savings. I have no idea.
Or he's maybe taking a sabbatical. I don't know. I'm not sure clear what the relationship is, but he's still beholden to him in some way in terms of the reason he's calling him.
Right.
And this is where I don't like Charles, because the movie sets it up as like he just needs a break. He needs a little vacation home mm-hmm. that he's going to live in and take it easy. But he's looking around, when he was looking through the binoculars at all the crows eating dead bodies, he was also looking at, like you said, the neighbors and buildings and like, oh, that's a nice building. We could turn that into like a super duplex thing. So he's looking at everything through like a real estate money-making lens.
Yeah, he's still, which is too bad because if you're like, I want to come out here and relax, then don't try to turn it into New York. Like,
yeah, go back to New York.
Move back to New York or stay here.
Yeah.
But like Jack said, like Charles is trying to sell Max on the idea like, oh, we could, you know, this town is so sleepy. Like they don't know how much their property's worth. Like, we can totally essentially take advantage of them. Like, come on mm-hmm. down, Maxie.
Yep.
What?
Exactly.
So he's kind of a dick. And Max is basically like, no, thank you. I have to go. Goodbye. You're gross. Because when he hangs up, Max calls him a putz, like, under his breath, which made me mm-hmm. laugh.
Mm-hmm.
But Charles is also distracted because he hears like moaning outside his door. So he opens the door. And this made me laugh because it's clearly like Alec Baldwin under the sheet that he's cut eye holes out. But he thinks it's Lydia, who Winona Ryder is a good deal shorter than Alec Baldwin.
Just like, a little bit.
How'd you think that was your daughter? But I mean, whatever. But he essentially tells her like, hey, I'm busy. Like, go away. He closes the door. He opens it. And he's like, by the way, your mother's going to be pissed off that you cut up those $300 sheets. And then he shuts the door again. So the attempt to haunt Charles failed. So Barbara and Adam go into Delia's room and they're, Adam's like, oh, you got to moan more, like make it sound convincing. So like, whoa, whoa.
Like, it's pretty good, so Sid.
Corny. It's amazing. And Delia wakes up enough to turn off the TV and she's just got like makeup all over her face and she falls back asleep. And they keep trying. And this pisses off Lydia because she thinks her parents are just having like raucous sex.
Which, if you think about it, if you hear sex noises and it's, whoa, whoa, like, go to the hospital.
Like, it shouldn't sound like that.
Oh, my God, you're doing something wrong.
So, but then, so after like banging on the wall, she comes downstairs with a camera, which would not be my first instinct if I thought.
No.
That was
nope,
happening?
Nope.
Like,
nope.
So Adam and Barbara come out of Delia's room in sheets and like Lydia's taking pictures of them. And she's like, you guys are gross. Like, at least do it in your bedroom. Ew. And then she notices like there's no feet under the sheets. And she's like, holy shit. Oh, my God. You guys are ghosts. And then she like goes up to them and she's like, what happened? Like, did you die? Are you gross under those sheets? Like, why are you hiding? And Adam pulls off the sheet and Barbara's like, what is wrong with you? Like, I would have been scared of ghosts at your age. It was very funny.
Yeah, she is not scared at all. And in fact, she embraces them.
Mm-hmm. It's actually a really sweet relationship that they have. I just love that they're like, you're supposed to be scared. And then they're like kind of surprised that she can see them. And they're like, oh, in the book it said, she's like, oh, I read that book that she sees. Handbook for the recently deceased, and it said like people don't usually like seeing the strange and unusual. I myself am strange and unusual, which good line.
It's a good line. And she is strange and unusual.
She is so and then they're like, well, we tried to scare your mom, and she's like, first of all, that's my stepmom. Ew. And then she's like, also, you can't scare her because she is sleeping with Prince Valium tonight, which was such a good way to say that. I loved that line.
It's a good line. It is a very good line.
So next scene, they're like up in the attic. So they've clearly formed like a little family unit. And I just thought it was so cute. She like immediately bonded with this ghost couple who kind of wanted a daughter. And she's kind of got negligent parents. Like, it's still very sweet.
Yeah, exactly. Very fitting.
Very fitting. So they're showing her like, oh, they, you know, we made this model town and, you know, maybe you could tell your parents like we're super scary and we're so mean and like they got to move out like meh. And Lydia's like, I mean, I'll try, but you don't know my dad. Like, he doesn't walk away from anything and he bought your house. But she does try because the next scene, it's the next day and Lydia is trying to tell Delia like, I saw ghosts and they were scary. And Delia's like, the only thing I am afraid of is being embarrassed by like the 6 New York people I could get into my house.
Yeah. So Delia is like just cooking on cocaine. She's like mixing bowls here by putting this on the stove. She's like trying to prepare dinner like so quick.
Yes.
And yeah, I just put she's trying to impress her rich yuppie friends that she's having over. It's just like, ugh.
Yeah. But I also love that Lydia's like, I told them you were too mean to be scared.
Yeah, she was right.
She was right. That was funny. So Barbara and Adam essentially are at their wit's end and they're like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't care. We're going to call Beetlejuice. Bad choice, obviously. And they immediately get transported into the little model town, which is where, again, Beetlejuice has been living. And he is just, well, okay. So first they get put in the cemetery of the model town and they have to like dig up his grave and all this stuff, and so they're digging for a while, which felt kind of unnecessary because he can just pop in and out wherever he wants. Like, that was
it's a long time that they're digging. Yeah, it's like a montage.
Yeah. So he pops up and he's like flies and he's like, hey, what's up? And he's gross. He's like got green stuff on his skin. His hair is sticking up everywhere. His teeth are all nasty. And he like immediately flies and gives Barbara a kiss. And she's like,
yep. Yep. It was the 80s.
Girl. Definitely. There was so much non-consensual touching in this movie. Like,
uh-huh.
My guy.
I mean, he is disgusting.
He's gross. So they're essentially like, hey, we need to get the Dietzes out. And poor Adam is trying to talk to him. And Beetlejuice is just taking any opportunity to like touch Barbara or like look up her skirt with a stick or
and kiss he's her like- again. Talking to Adam, he's like, hey, you know, what's my chance of getting with her? And it's like, oh, my God. So he's like trying to hit on Barbara. And then everything that he's talking to Adam about is how to get with his wife.
Right. Yeah. So
it's all focused on that. Yeah.
He's clearly not going to help, which.
No.
Yeah.
He's a hilarious perv is what I put in my notes.
He is a hilarious perv. That is a good way to describe him. So immediately Barbara's like, you know what? Fuck this. I actually.
She wants to leave.
We'll figure it out on his own. And then, like, Beetlejuice changes his outfit to match Adam's outfit. He's like, hey, come on. We're the same guy. We shop at the same store.
Oh, that's so good.
And he's like, come on, you know, come on to my grave, essentially. Like, I got spaghetti down there. Like, it's going to be great. And Barbara's like, enough. And she just says, home, 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 three times. And they become big again. Oh. Beetlejuice is like, where'd you go?
What? That's what she says. I didn't know how she got them out of there. I thought she like snapped her finger and did some kind of, you know,
yeah,
spooky stuff. I don't know. Okay, that makes more sense though.
Yeah, which again, you don't blame Barbara.
No, it was disgusting. And then Adam's down there like, well, he's not that weird. Let's just see if we can use him. And it's like, dude, are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly. Gross. So Barbara's also like, plus, I don't want that guy anywhere near Lydia. Like, I don't know. I think it's very sweet, like, how quickly she bonded with Lydia.
So, I mean,
and again, nobody wants Beetlejuice around their child.
Yes. I can agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want Beetlejuice around other people's children.
No. Or any woman ever, really. Ew.
He kind of was where he needed to be, like locked away in some kind of plastic grave. Stay there.
Yeah. So Barbara's like, okay, you know what? We'll do it ourselves. I got an idea, which is great because one of the best scenes of this movie is coming up. Oh, so good. I had a happy dance when this scene came up. So the dinner party has started and we meet, I wrote them all down. So we meet Grace, who is played by Susan Kellerman. We meet Bernard, who is played by Dick Cavett, and we meet Beryl, who is played by Adele Lutz.
Beryl.
So Bernard and I think Grace are, Bernard is Delia's agent, essentially, for her art. And I think Grace is who she's there to like try to get her to write about her or get back into the art scene, essentially.
Yeah, this is not a friend dinner. This is a, how can I make connections and like get my way into the art world in New York?
Yes. Dinner. And I think Beryl is there with Otho because Otho makes some crack about how Beryl is cranky because her seventh suicide attempt didn't work or something. Like, what?
Which, oh, man, it's dark, but it's so funny.
Like, the fuck? Hey. Okay, Otho. So.
It's. Yeah, immediately it's not going so well, too, for Delia. Like, Delia's, like, floundering. She's trying to brown-nose her guests, and she's like, you know, I love, you know, try to connect with them on any level, and she's not able to do it, because they kind of see through her bullshit.
Yeah, Charles is trying to be like, oh, everything's great, and eventually Lydia's like, well, I saw a ghost, and Delia's like, no, she's fucking stupid. That's just an inside joke we have. There's no ghost here, and Lydia's like, no, like, it's not a joke. I saw some ghosts. And they try to make small talk for a little bit. And Delia's like, well, I would like to change the subject. And I just want to say. And then Deo by Harry Belafonte just pops out of her voice. And she starts singing along to the song, although it's him singing. And so they're like, oh my gosh, how are you doing that? That's so funny. Like, are you throwing your voice? They're looking for a tape recorder or something. And then, like, Charles starts singing. So now it's both Delia and Charles singing this song. And then, like, they get up and start dancing, and napkins are thrown at the guests, and they all start dancing to this song. And it's so good. And if you haven't seen this scene, I can't do it justice. Like, you have to see it. It's so good.
It's really good. And Catherine O'Hara is such a good actor because she's doing all this while making the facial expressions of like, is this, am I doing this? And like, mm-hmm. Wait, what's going on? Like, not agreeing with her body language. And it's very good. Very well acted.
Right. Like, I think that's what sells the whole scene is like, she does it the best, but they're all doing it. They're like, Oh, I'm having fun. Like, wait, what the fuck am I doing? No, this is fun. No, wait.
It's like, I'm possessed, but I'm having fun. Like,
but I like it. So the possession ends essentially when they like get thrown back in their chairs, and they look forward down at their shrimp cocktail dishes, and the shrimp cocktail become hands and like throw everybody back by the face. So good.
Yes.
Amazing.
I just wanted to add real quick that the woman who plays Beryl.
Yeah.
She is also the TV anchor woman in Silence of the Lambs. So,
is she really?
Weird connection there.
That's crazy. I did not pick up on that. Thank you, Bo.
6 degrees of Silence of the Lambs.
Hey, guard your liver. Oh no.
And she said, that's why I picked Bo. I knew he was going to have a fact like that. He's so good at his job.
Clearly. Thank you, Belle. So Barbara and Adam are like, fuck yeah, like we scared them. Like they're gonna run out of here. We did it. And they run up to the attic and they're like giggling and they're watching out the window, like ready for their guests to run out, afraid. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, any minute now. Any minute. And then there's a knock at the door and Lydia's like, hey, it's me, Lydia. They want you to come downstairs. Like they're clearly not scared.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone's sitting in the living room and they're basically thinking of this as like a way to make money. They're like, oh, we can sell tickets. Like, this is going to go big. Like, this is amazing. Like, look what we stumbled onto.
Yeah, Charles, they are coming down. I think Lydia comes down the stairs first and we just hear Charles go, it was like being in an amusement park. He's like freaking out about it. And it's like, he's so excited to make some money off of this idea.
Yes. And Lydia's like, hey, the ghosts aren't coming downstairs. Like, they did this because they want you out of their house. Like, they're trying to scare you. They weren't. They don't want to come down and do tricks for you. That's stupid. So then Bernard, Grace, and Beryl are like, okay, whatever. You guys faked this. This is bullshit. And they leave. Which, how would they fake that? Like, explain that to me. What do you mean they faked it?
I don't know. Just gotta get them out of here, I guess.
Put LSD in your food?
I don't know. Yeah, they're like quickly from one side. They're like, oh, that was great. Yeah. We love that ghost experience stuff. And then immediately they're like, oh, this is bullshit. And Charles or Bernard talks about how Delia is losing him money because he's her agent. Because
their art's so bad. It's
so bad. Yeah, I thought that was so funny.
He's like, if you insist on scaring people, scare people through your art. Like, oh, shit. Well, damn, Bernard. Spicy.
It's true, though.
It is true. So they leave. Delia gets pissed off, and she basically marches Lydia, Otho, and Charles up to the attic. And she's like, we're going in there. And Lydia's like, leave him alone. And Delia's like, Lydia, this is my time to teach you something. Do not let anybody walk all over you. And she's saying it, like, so calmly. And then she just bangs on the door and she's like, open up, you fucking ghost. Catherine O'Hara's ability to go from calm to screaming in rage in like 60 seconds, 0-60 is amazing.
It's very good.
She's so good. So when she does this, the attic door opens and they see the model and Charles is immediately like, oh my God, the town model. What?
This whole scene shows how cowardly Delia, Charles, and Otho are, because they push Lydia into the room as the door opens. They make her go first, like a meat shield. Yeah. It's like, oh, you guys suck.
Yeah, the ghosts like you go in first. That's true. So Delia's calling for them. They can't see them. Charles is deeply invested in this model that Adam had made. And Otho sees the handbook for the recently deceased and just like fucking pockets it.
And doesn't tell anyone either.
Doesn't tell anybody. Okay. So they leave because they don't see them. Yeah. And it turns out like Barbara and Adam were like hanging outside the window until everybody left.
Right. Yeah, it was, and it's kind of surprising because Delia wants to leave the attic because she's like, okay, we're scaring them away, so we need to leave here so that they'll come back.
Yeah, and I can't tell if it was because she was getting creeped out or because she doesn't want to lose her potential like money cash cow option.
A little both there, probably.
So Beetlejuice is laughing at them. He's like, oh, wow, you guys were really scary. You did it. Then making fun of them, and he's like, let me show you how it's done. So while they're all on, like, Delia, Charles, Otho and Lydia are walking down the hallway with the banister. The banister that Delia's got her hand on turns into this big snake, like this big snake skin. And so it's this huge snake, a rattlesnake, but it's Beetlejuice's face, his head. And he starts like attacking people. Otho gets shoved down the stairs by Beetlejuice's rattlesnake tail.
Yep. He drops Charles. He like picks him up and drops Charles from the second floor.
Which should have damaged more than it did.
I think so.
But Charles is fine.
He's fine.
I think Delia just like passes out or gets knocked down or something. I don't remember. It ends up that Lydia's the only one still standing. And Beetlejuice is like, oh, a pretty girl. Like, hey. Mm-hmm. Gross. And so Barbara runs out and she yells Beetlejuice 3 times. So Beetlejuice gets thrown back in the model cemetery. But Lydia doesn't know about Beetlejuice, so she thinks it's like Adam and Barbara who try to scare her, and she freaks out crying like, why are you doing this? Which, I mean, fair. That snake was scary.
Yeah, I just wrote she goes full emo and pouts about that whole part, and it's like, I get that she thinks that they're trying to scare her, but I don't know. It just seemed very like, okay, here's the teenager part, or like the conflict part between them and Lydia.
Yeah. I mean, in their defense, like, Otho does get thrown down the stairs and her dad gets dropped over a balcony. This wasn't just, like, doing a fun little parlor trick.
Yeah, it was pretty funny, though. Especially watching Otho tumble down the stairs, which you probably would have done anyway just to get down the stairs because he's unconventional. Otho.
He's fun to watch. So Barbara and Adam are basically like, hey, leave Lydia alone. Like, you're disgusting. Get away from her. And then they immediately get whisked back into the underworld, but they're like thrown into Juno's office.
Mm-hmm.
And she yells at them. Okay, let me back up. So they're in Juno's office and she's trying to talk to them, but there is this crowd of dead football players who can't figure out that they're dead. And they keep asking her like, hey coach, like where's the men's room? And where, you know, where are we and all this?
Yeah, put us in coach.
She's so annoyed with them, and there were too many of them, so I didn't get all their names, but that was a funny little like side plot. Hey coach, I'm not your coach, go downstairs.
It seems like a stressful job being a dead people caseworker.
Poor Juno. So yeah, Juno is yelling at Adam and Barbara for getting photographed, for letting Beetlejuice out and not putting him back. And then for letting Otho steal the handbook. And they're like, wait, what? When the hell did he steal a handbook?
Yeah.
So our next scene is Charles and Delia are outside on this.
Sorry, one thing. I'm sorry. It's trivia provided by Forrest. So when they're sitting in the office talking to Juno, it looks at Adam and Barb. And behind them, there's like a window with like a red and a green skeleton. And apparently those are from Tim Burton's later movies, Mars Attacks. And then there's also a guy that looks like a Blues Brother. He's wearing like the sunglasses. So I don't know if that's like a weird pre-homage to his later movies. I think those were after.
That's fun though. I didn't know that. Thanks, Forrest.
Thanks, Forrest. Don't drop it down. Like this.
Oh, that was a dainty little axe chop. Boop.
But all the trees fell. That's all that meant.
It's not all at once.
It's not how big the tool is, Sid. It's how you use it.
Sorry, Jack. You're right. Good job.
Ow, my
hand. So, ow. So,
Sorry.
Oh, you're good. The Living. They are, Charles and Delia are outside on like this. Oh. It's kind of like this balcony that they've built, but like it's an outdoor and there's no, it's really cool looking.
This is what I'm, this is like the indoor outdoor sunroom. It's, yeah. It's amazing. It's just, there's no walls except for the end of the hall or whatever you want to call it, hallway, where there's a wall mm-hmm. with windows in it. It's
okay. Cool. Yeah. Inside. Yeah. That's a good way to describe it. So they're trying to figure out what to do essentially. And Delia, in a rare moment of stepmom concern, she's like, you know, I don't think this place is that good for Lydia. Like there's too much going on out here. And Charles is like, well, and they have this little back and forth. And then Otho comes out and he's like, eh, you family types, like you got to get ready for Maxie Dean and his wife coming out here. Like, what?
And he's wearing like a silk robe too. So he is like staying with them or something.
Right. Like I get the sense that he lives in New York still, but when he comes out to be with them, he's there for like a week at a time or something like that. It seems like he stays there for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Jack, I will give you this. This is very, very teenager because Lydia's sitting in her all black room uh-huh. in her funeral garb. And she's just like, got this classical music playing. It's mostly strings. And she's just like writing this elaborate note, but she keeps scribbling out words to make it sound more dramatic. And she's like, I am alone. And then she throws the paper away and she's like, I am utterly alone. It's just, and she, by the time you've read this, like I will be gone having jumped. No, scratch that out. Having plummeted off of the Winter Bridge. Like it's so, she's, so much.
She's practicing her suicide letter. It's,
you know. I know, which, right? Like, because it's sad, but it's also like they couch it in funny.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Also, this would have been a perfect time. Instead of strings and classical music, no, fuck that. We need Queen of the Damn music behind this. That would have fit her mood of like, you know, let's start in the tarts, coming back for one more.
Let's start in the tarts. I love this song. Mm. I'm utterly alone. Only the start understands me.
Oh, no.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not listened to our Queen of the Damned episode, that joke won't make any sense. So go back and listen to it. Hooray!
Callbacks. Sorry.
Callbacks. So now we are back in Juno's office, and she is still yelling at Barbara and Adam. And she says, you have to basically, before you can go back, you have to demonstrate to me how you're going to get the Dietzes out of your house. And they just...
This is great.
It's so Tim Burton. Like, they just distort their faces into these crazy monster-like things. And I don't think I'm going to... Barbara, like, pulls her face apart. She looks like an alligator monster and then, like, pops her two little eyeballs over her tongue.
Yeah, she's, like, eating. Her eyes are viewing, looking out from her mouth. Open mouth. And Adam like pulls his nose out and like his eyes are really droopy and it kind of looks like the what is it, the gas mask during the, please, Bo, I think you know.
Oh, I was gonna say Spy versus Spy, but yeah,
that's what I would
do. Spy versus Spy. I
was thinking Spy versus Spy.
This is a Jack fact, not a Force fact. He looks very much like Zero from Nightmare Before Christmas, like the dog.
He does. Oh, he does look like Zero.
So maybe that was like an inspiration for design for Zero. I don't know.
That's cute. I love that. Yeah. Are you thinking of the Plague Doctor, Jack?
Yes. Yeah, that's what the mask for that. Yeah.
Okay. All really good descriptions. And I do like that when Adam like plucks his eyeballs out, he's got 10 eyeballs on 10 of his fingers, which is great.
It's stuff I've never seen. I mean, I know this movie's old, but like when this came out, it was for me, it was like, oh, I've never seen stuff like a monster. This is not what I would envision for like a monster or a ghost. Like this is a very creative way to.
Yeah, it's very I think that's why this movie is such a cult classic. Like it's not that scary, but it's super creative. It's a lot of fun. So, yeah, because I don't feel like I've seen that before.
It's also kind of confusing too, or just, I don't know, maybe not confusing, but like the story is kind of all over the place. So I don't think it's the story that's propelling this into like, cause this is almost like a cult classic, right?
When you
put it in that camp. Yeah. So, and I think a lot of it has to do with just the overall feel and design of everything.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. So Juno is pleased with their creepy transformation. She's like, okay, yeah, you can go. And then the football players mm-hmm. run back in. They're like, coach, I don't think we survived the crash. And she's like, oh, good job. You figured it out.
I love the football players. I forgot to mention. So, like you were saying, everyone that's in the waiting room, it's how they died is how they're mm-hmm. appearing in there. When she disappears the first time in a puff of smoke, it comes out of her neck.
Yeah.
So I think she was, or did you already say that? Sorry.
I didn't say it, but I.
So she must have died from, throat cancer or something like that.
Yeah, they're so creative. I did read on your Forest app, by the way, because everybody else is constantly appearing how they were dead. And someone's like, well, why weren't Barbara and Adam wet the whole time? And I think Tim Burton was like, oh, that was going to be really uncomfortable for my actors to be constantly wet. So that's why they are.
It was a practical consideration.
Yeah.
For actors, like, which I it would suck to have like your skin fall off at the end of shooting because it's all
right. I've got scales. And like they're in the clothes they were in when they died, but they're not all gross looking. Right. They're dry. So Lydia's going up to the attic with her perfected suicide note. yep. But she can't find the Maitlands. So she's like, she's calling for them. And just this little Beetlejuice voice is like, oh, they're gone. And they're dead. And she's like, well, yeah, of course they're dead. They're ghosts. And he's like, no, I mean, like, they fucked off. They're not here anymore.
They scram.
He scrammed. He's like, but like, why? What do you need? And she's like, well, I want to die, essentially. He's like, well, I can help you if you let me out, but you have to call my name. And she's like, well, okay, what's your name? He's like, oh, I can't tell you, and you got to guess. So they do this goofy charades thing, but she can't guess mm-hmm. it. So he pops up behind her as this big fucking beetle. She's like, oh, two words. And she's like, oh, beetle. And then he pours like a glass of orange juice, and she's like, I don't know, beetle orange, beetle breakfast, beetle drink. She finally gets it, and she's like, oh, Beetlejuice? Your name is Beetlejuice? And he's like, oh, that's two. You just got to say it one more time. And she's like, wait, you were the fucking snake. Like, you're the one who attacked us. Like, no. I want to talk to Barbara. I don't want to talk to you. So Lydia's smart.
Yes, she is. The final femme, perhaps.
Oh, she is our little final femme. Yeah, but that I don't know. That seems funny. So Barbara and Adam are trying to walk through the hallway and get back to their house. But Barbara's like, I've really bonded with Lydia. Like, I don't care if Charles and Delia like get the fuck out of here, but I don't want to lose Lydia. And Adam's like, well, we kind of have to. And she's like, no, we don't, fuck them. Like, Barbara is very determined to do whatever the fuck Barbara wants.
I also love that they're having this conversation still with their faces all like
still as monsters.
Yeah, they look crazy.
So funny. I love Barbara. So they go through the door, and Lydia is in the middle of saying Beetlejuice, and Barbara runs over. She's like, no, don't do it. But she's still a monster, so Lydia kind of freaks out at first.
Yeah.
Fair. But Barbara fixes her face. Adam can't figure out how to fix his face, so he's still goofy.
He's having trouble.
Lydia's basically like, oh, I want to be like you guys. I want to be dead. And Barbara's like, no, like, come visit us anytime, but no, you don't want to. Your problems don't get easier just because you're dead, basically.
Right, right.
And then it's really sweet, and then they have a little heartwarming moment, and Adam finally fixes his face, except his little Pinocchio nose, and it was cute.
And they talk about how they wanted to invite their family to stay now.
Yeah, they're like, we can coexist. It's fine. Just quit trying to get us to do dumb shit, basically. Which, like, fair enough. So then Otho and Charles bust into the attic. Like, Lydia hides with the Maitlands, but they're kind of watch. Otho and Charles are busting apart the model town because it's in sectional. So they're carrying it downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And Lydia's like, okay, I don't know what they're doing, but I'm going to go figure it out. Something bad is happening. So
she's right.
And she's right. Because when she comes downstairs, Charles is giving a presentation to Maxie and his wife, Sarah, who is played by Marie Cheatham, Cheatham.
I believe you.
Yeah, well, fair enough. So Lydia joins them, and Sarah and Maxie are saying, like, oh, we're here because we want to see ghosts. Like, they're not really interested in Charles's pitch. They're just here to see, ghosts because Maxie's wife is super interested in the undead.
Yeah, and the plan for Charles is he's pitching Paranormal Park, I think is what he calls it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like basically turning the town into a paranormal amusement park.
Right, because Charles, for someone who wanted
money,
a house, yeah, in the country and relax, like he's still, like.
He sure wants to bring all the problems he left behind to where he's currently living. I don't get that.
Right, like go to New York and hang out for a couple weeks, a month or something if you still have that urge. I don't know, it's weird. So Lydia basically says like, oh, the ghosts are gone. They're not here anymore. And Delia's like, don't listen to her. We're not relying on her anyway. We're relying on Otho. And Otho's like, yeah, the ghosts are still here. And then he pulls out the book. And at first Lydia freaks out, but then she's like, wait, Otho, like you can't even change like a tire. Like, what am I worried about? Which is such teenage girl sass. It's so good. She is the only one who can sass him properly, and he actually looks bothered by it.
Yeah.
So Otho is going to essentially perform a ritual to make the Maitlands appear. He's like, I need something personal of theirs. And Lydia's like, well, my mom got rid of everything. And Delia's like, wait, I have something. And she pulls out the wedding dress and wedding suit that they found on their original walkthrough of the house when they first moved in. So it's
kind of interesting she saved those. Doesn't seem like a Delia thing to do, you know?
That's a good point. Why did she save those?
I don't know.
So, yeah, so she produces their wedding clothes. And Otho is basically doing a summoning ceremony from the book. And it's sad because, like, Barbara and Adam are upstairs. And, like, suddenly Barbara's hand gets translucent and she's talking, but Adam can't hear her anymore. Like, you can't hear her anymore. And she starts to appear in the wedding dress downstairs. But as she like gets into the wedding dress, she starts to age rapidly. So like this ceremony is killing her.
Yeah.
And, you know, Adam gets thrown into his wedding suit as well. So they're both like rapidly deteriorating. And Charles tells Otho to stop because Lydia's freaking out. She's like, you're hurting them. And Otho's like, I don't know how to stop it, essentially. So cool. Thanks, Otho.
Very Otho. Like, oh, I can start this, but I don't know what the fuck I'm doing after that.
He's like, oh, okay. So Lydia runs over to the model and she's like, help them. Please, like, do something. And Beetlejuice is like, yeah, okay, I'll help them. However,
yeah,
I don't want to get thrown back and forth in this stupid cemetery anymore. So if I help them, you're going to marry me because I need an official out. Lydia's like, yeah, okay, fine, whatever. Who cares? Lydia's got to be like 15, right?
It was the 80s. Ah,
girl. Yeah. Gross. So she calls his name 3 times. And I just love that he appears as like this fucked up carousel. Like this.
It's like a carny guy. Like, oh, man, it's so weird. Oh, my God.
It's so much. And he like, Sarah and Maxie are super into it because he's like, hey, look over here. Brr. And his arms turn into, you know, those strength machine tests with like the hammer where you have to hit it. And if you hit it hard enough, it'll like, bing, hit the bell.
Yep.
So Sarah and Maxie are super pumped because his arms turn into those hammers and they don't see the bell behind them.
They're on the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So he hits the hammer and they shoot up through the ceiling, which was so nice.
It was good.
It was good. And then, let's see.
Oh, this is great. Ortho is trying to leave. He's trying to flee.
Oh, yeah.
And then Beetle just, like, picks on him. He's like, hey, wait a second. And then he just, like, changes his clothes, and it's, like, a baby blue suit. And Ortho's like, no! And he's, like, freaking out.
No!
That's the worst thing that can happen to him. Yeah.
So great. And then Beetlejuice does follow through on his promise. He releases Barbara and Adam from the spell so they stop dying, essentially. They're coming back to themselves, but it's slow. Then he cuddles up to Charles and Delia, and he's like, Mom, Dad,
yeah.
I just want to let you know you can come over to our house anytime. And he hands Charles a handful of snakes as, like, the dowry. He's like, don't worry, Dad. Like, I got the dowry covered. Like, oh, my God. Then he's like, okay, let's get this done. And he's like in a red suit, and like Delia is suddenly in like this huge, awful, puffy 80s wedding dress, but it's all like bright red. And Delia's statues come to life and trap Charles and Delia essentially so that they can't run over and stop Beetlejuice. And they don't know that all they have to do is say his name 3 times.
Yeah.
And then he calls like this undead priest. So a wall in their house opens up and this little guy just walks through. He looks like a little alien. Priest. Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's motherfucking Tony Cox. Hell yeah.
I don't know who that is.
So, he's not the voice. He's voiced by Jack Angel, but it's Tony Cox, who plays, plays a lot of things. He plays the Dwarf Guard in Silence of the Hams. It's another Silence of the Lambs reference. But he plays the African-American Leprechaun in Leprechaun 2.
What the fuck? Why do you know these things, Bo?
Oh, he plays
Tony Cox.
He plays the elf in Bad Santa too.
Yeah, probably where he's probably more recognized from. But it's Tony Cox.
Yeah, sorry, that's what I know him from, I guess. But yeah,
my apologies, Tony Cox. Welcome to this random ass movie.
96 credits to his acting career.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Tony Cox, for your
no shade, Sid. No shade.
Not upset. Just excited.
You sound upset. So
no, yeah. It's Tony Cox. I'm just excited.
Just excited.
Don't fire me.
I didn't know
I
Bo
was such.
Okay, oh.
It's okay, Bo.
Bo has a Bo. If you can get us an interview with Tony Cox, we will let you stay on the podcast.
Oh my god, I'm gonna have to start making some calls.
Get on.
Oh
there.
Yeah.
Trying to get a phone call
with
Tony Cox.
So the ceremony is starting, and Adam tries to say Beetlejuice's name, but he's still pretty decayed, so like his jaw falls off.
His jaw falls off. That's so good.
He tries again, but Beetlejuice is kind of over it, so he transports him into the model. Like he's like, get out of here.
Yeah.
And then Barbara pops up and she says his name once. And then like Beetlejuice throws a zipper over her mouth, but she just unzips her mouth and says it again. Yeah. So then he like throws a steel plate on her mouth, which she can't get enough. But he still doesn't trust her. So he like sends her to Saturn with the sandworms just to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Proving again, Barbara is the real MVP. And then I did love this part. Like Adam is in the model, but he gets into this truck essentially, and he like drives the truck off the model and like zooms it across the floor because Beetlejuice is trying to get the priest to hurry up with like the vows. He's like, come on. And
it's pretty funny too, because like, okay, and the priest is like, okay, do you have the ring? And Beetle's like, ah, and he like doesn't have the so funny.
And he like finds a finger in his pocket, a lady finger, and it's got like a ring on it. He's like, baby, I swear she meant nothing to me. And he like, throws the finger away. And the priest asks Lydia, like, oh, do you want to marry him? And she's like, no, I don't. So he puts his hand over her mouth and he like throws his voice. Oh, yep, this is me. This is Lydia. And I definitely want to marry him. Like, okay. So all this glory is happening. And then Adam drives his teeny tiny truck and like smashes it into Beetlejuice's foot. And like the truck explodes and it lights his shoe on fire.
Somehow.
Somehow. And then, Barbara, who has turned and looked at the sandworm while she's on Saturn, comes crashing through the ceiling, riding the fucking sandworm, which eats Beetlejuice and descends him into hell, essentially. It was so epic.
They chomped him.
They chomped the fuck out of him. Chomp, chomp! That's glorious.
Wedding is off.
Goodbye. So, Barbara saved the day because she's a boss.
She pretty much was the MVP there.
Mm-hmm. So then Barbara and Adam reunite. The statues go away, essentially. So Delia and Charles, like, make to run over to Lydia. But, like, the little Tony Cox is still standing there. And they, like, stop. And they just kind of smile at each other. Like, hey. This is weird. But it was kind of cute. But, yeah. Then our next scene is Lydia's at school. And she's leaving school. It's an all-girls school. She's riding her little bike home. And I just like that they made this little family. So Lydia comes home. She's telling Adam and Barbara, who again are more parents to her than her parents. Her parents just kind of seem to want to be like aunt and uncle.
Yeah, but
fair. She's telling them about the science test and, oh, they wanted me to dissect this frog, but it was gross. So I told them it was against my religion. And they're like, okay, well, how'd you do on the math test? And she like pulls a face and Adam's like, are you kidding? Like, we studied for a week for this. And then she smiles and she's like, nah, I got an A. And she's like, so can I? And Adam's like, well, I don't know. And she's like, you did get a C in science. I don't know. It was cute because Barbara's like, Adam, you never got an A in science. And he's like, what? I don't know. It was very sweet. Okay. Like, they clearly love each other. And it was super cute.
So up to this point, I thought like, okay, Delia and Charles just didn't want Lydia anymore. So they gave her to Adam and Barb. And I was like, this seems to have worked out. Then
wait,
we see, yeah,
I haven't been here yet. She asks if she can, and he says okay. And then like the music starts playing for the Harry Belafonte song, which I jump in the line. The Harry Belafonte song, jump in the line. The rocking chair starts going. The little pots start clanking, and then we go upstairs to Charles reading the little deceased for the dead handbook. And he's like, this thing reads like stereo instructions. And he hears the music and he's like, oh, sounds like Delia or Lydia got an A on her math test. And then Delia shows up with a sculpture of Beetlejuice's head as the snake and scares the shit out of Charles, who is like, ah. Delia's like, nah, he loves it.
So weird. So yeah, what I guess the agreement that, or the truce, or whatever you want to call it, that Barb and Adam were going to approach Delia and Charles with, is what they're doing now?
Yeah.
Okay. Because Lydia's floating.
Well, yeah, that's part of the deal. If she gets an A, she gets to, like, float and dance to the song, and then all the dead football players fill up the stairs, and they're dancing along with her. It is the cutest end to a movie
ever. But she's not dead.
No. I think they're just have the ability to like float her.
Oh.
She's not dead. No,
ghosts have that power.
I think they have gotten stronger.
Well, we got to stop them.
No.
They have 119 more years, or 124 more years.
It was so cute.
It was cute. Whatever.
I know. And the house is also back to normal. So I wonder if that was part of the deal, or if Delia got to keep part of the house a little weird. We don't really see
that's
that.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. Because I thought they threw all that shit away, and so they're like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that whole, like, saving their daughter from death thing would kind of, like, indebt you to the ghosts who helped you, so.
I suppose.
Yeah. Anyways, it's super cute. Oh, yeah, so while this is happening, we go over to Beetlejuice, who is in the waiting room for the dead. And he's talking to first he sits down next to the magician's assistant who's been sawed in half. And he starts like feeling up the leg, and the top half sees him and like whacks him with the books. He's like, oh, sorry, I didn't see you sitting there. So then he goes and sits in between the head shrinker and the guy with the shrunken head. And he leans over and he's like, oh, is that you? That was really nice work. Like, you did a great job. Love it. And he notices how long his line is for the next person to be seen, and then how short the head shrinker's line is. So he like pretends to see Elvis and steals the head shrinker's number, but the head shrinker notices and like sprinkles little fairy dust over Beetlejuice's head, and Beetlejuice's head starts shrinking. It's very funny.
Hey, what the heck?
Yeah, exactly. That was good. Yeah, exactly.
This could be a good look for me. And then we go back to Lydia dancing, and the dead football players show up, and it's so much fun. And then the movie's over.
And Harry Belafonte collects his paycheck.
Girl, Harry, this movie is how I knew about Harry Belafonte.
I didn't know that they were in this song, but I've heard those songs elsewhere. But is this where they got famous? Like, when did those songs come out? I don't even know.
I would assume it was like 50s or 60s.
It's that old?
I think so. Because that was like Adam's band that he was listening to when they were alive.
Yeah, it is that old. Interesting.
Jump
okay.
in the line.
All right.
Okay, I believe you. Yeah, so this movie's fun. It's a good time.
It was. It was good. I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I actually liked it.
Oh, yay!
God. Bo, you're going to want to remember this day. Jacked like a horror movie.
Right? You've liked like one or two of them.
I've liked several of them, but like this one was good. I like this one.
It's a fun one. Yeah, we just wanted to take a break from like the really creepy. But, you know, next one's scary. So, hooray. So, Jack, what are you giving Lydia as your drink?
Well,
yeah.
She can decide if she wants to have alcohol in this. But what I'm going to give her is called Sandworm Slayer.
Okay.
It's actually a drink that was put out in promotion of the most recent Beetlejuice that came out in last year.
Mm-hmm.
But it is basically it's a raspberry and vodka, and then it's topped with sour candy worms on the top. So like crawler guys.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's nice, and it's got this nice teal look to it. It looks delicious and luminescent.
Ooh, fancy. Mm. It's very simple. I like it.
And that was by AMC Theaters. Thank you guys.
Thanks. I'm sure they're still around. All right. Lovely. Well, my drink is from breadboozebacon.com. What a name.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is called the Beetlejuice Cocktail. Again, aptly named.
This is going to be disgusting.
This is 1 ounce vodka, half an ounce of melon liqueur, and then they say like Midori, half an ounce of raspberry liqueur, half an ounce of blue curacao, 2 ounces of sweet and sour, 1.5 ounces of cranberry juice, and ice. Okay, you fill an old-fashioned glass with ice. To the glass, you add the vodka, the melon, the raspberry, the blue curacao, the sweet and sour, which will make the drink green. You pour cranberry juice on top of that. You let it float, or you can stir it for the color change, and then you serve it with black and white striped straws, and then say his name 3 times, which, yeah, cute.
I wouldn't recommend saying his name before you drink it, though, because he's just going to appear and drink all of it.
Right. And you just spent all that time. The fuck? Rude. Get your fucking own. Anyways, so yeah, that was Beetlejuice. Tell us your thoughts. You can follow us on Final Femme Podcast on Instagram, or you can email us your thoughts at finalfempodcast@gmail.com. You can rank and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your listening app of choice. And next time. Okay. Next time. We are doing The Orphanage, which is a fun one. Well, fun to me. It's not fun like Beetlejuice was fun.
That means it's going to be bad for Jack. I already know this.
Yes, it's a good time, I think. I need to stop saying that because the amount of people who have been like, is this scary? I'm like, no, it's not really scary. And then have gotten them to come back and they yell at me. So
yeah, well, you know what? Sometimes your little subjective take of what is scary, I think, is
okay
above the threshold of the population that listens to this.
I don't think that's true. That's probably true. Anyways, it'll be great. We'll have a good time. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
No, stop. It's my... I let it. I get to say goodbye. Goodbye.
Mr. Darling, man,
through your body, let it flow. Punch your neighbor in the face, 'cause he sucks and he's boning your wife.
Cause he sucks and he's boning your wife.
That's good.
Thank you.